It seems like there's a lot of fear in our world today. As nation rises up against nation and people against people, and even innocent people who are just going about their daily lives become victims of terrorist attacks, such as we saw on 9/11, or in Bali, or in Madrid, or in Egypt, where my youngest daughter is now living, or most recently in Jordan. We don't know where it will all end. We don't know what it's all leading to. We don't know what might happen next, or when some terrorist like al-Zarqawi or Osama bin Laden will strike again. And we don't know if we will be prepared for what happens next. And so there's a lot of fear on the part of many people living in our world today. And then when we think about the natural disasters that our world has seen, it seems so many in the last several months. For example, the tsunami in Southeast Asia that took the lives of almost 300,000 people, and the earthquakes, and the hurricanes, and the tornadoes. All of these things, and especially if you live through them, can instill in us fear. Because we wonder what this world is coming to. We wonder if the world isn't just falling all apart. And I haven't even mentioned bird flu, nor have I mentioned all of the other concerns and fears that we feel every day because of our daily lives and concerns for ourselves and for our families, which sometimes can become overwhelming. The fact of the matter is that living in fear and uncertainty was also very much a part of life at the time of our prophet Jeremiah also. There was great conflict surrounding Israel at that time as the doom of entire nations was being sealed. It was a period of storm and stress, when even Judah itself was being threatened. And yes, during the time of Jeremiah, fear and uncertainty was very much a part of life, as it is today. But thanks be to God that He has not left us alone. God has made promises to us that He will fulfill. He has promised us that in spite of what we might see going on in the world around us, in spite of our daily fears, the things that we face, that God is still the God of heaven and earth, and as He told His disciples, He will establish His church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, first we see here in this scene, in which God leads Jeremiah to a potter's workshop, we see that all things that happen are under God's dominion and control. Or to put it another way, there is nothing that happens that is not under God's direction. One of my daughters has a potter's wheel, and I have seen her do exactly what Jeremiah observed in our text today. She begins with a clump of clay and she starts working on something and the wheel spins and it begins to take shape, and then something goes wrong and so she has to stop the wheel and she just pushes the clay back into a lump and starts all over again. Well, what God is telling the people of Israel and what He is telling us is that we are not the masters of our own destiny that we believe that we are, but that all things happen under His power and authority. And in fact, this example of a potter working with a lump of clay isn't really a complete example of God's relationship to creation. Because the fact of the matter is that God is not just a manipulator of raw material, but rather that God actually called even that raw material into existence out of nothing. And this is important for us to recognize so that we can understand our relationship to God as the Creator and we being His createes or His creation. Just last night, I heard something on the radio which really makes me wonder what people in general think about God or who He is or what His power is. Now, they were talking about persecution of scientists who are advocating or at least postulating the possibility of intelligent design. And some of these scientists have been persecuted. But what surprised me is that the news reporter said the statistic like this. She said that 60% of Americans believe that either God created the world or at least that He was somehow involved in the process. Now, to me, that's not very encouraging news, not in a nation in which 87% of Americans claim to be Christians, that only 60% believe that either God created the world or at least had something to do with it. But the point here is that all things were created and are sustained by God. As Scripture says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then also, He upholds all things by the word of His power. But secondly, here in this text, we see God's loving purpose in ordering things the way that He does. God's purpose in the things that cause us fear is to call us back to repentance and trust in Him. He does not want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to a knowledge of the truth. Our text makes it clear that God is a merciful God, and He is able and He is ready to forgive the sins of those who repent of their sins and trust in Him. Now, what I find interesting here is to draw the similarities between the days that we are living now with this great tension, or more than a tension perhaps, this animosity that exists between many of the followers of the political / religious system of Islam and the Western world today. How similar that is to really what was being lived at the time of Martin Luther. In the case of Martin Luther, he wrote a treatise in 1528 called On War Against the Turk. Probably not something bad to look at today on this Veterans Day. But one of the principal points that he made, and certainly he said the German nation must defend itself, but one of the principal points that he made in that document was that repentance must be the first step. And then he cited our text from today's lesson, Jeremiah chapter 18. But he added verse 11, which says, "Behold, I am shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one of you and amend your ways and your doings." And then Luther says, "We may apply these words to ourselves, for God is certainly preparing the Turk against us." Certainly, we can say the same thing about the kinds of things that we are seeing in the world today. Perhaps we can't understand everything about them. Certainly, we wrestle with the idea that God, in some way, could bring good out of the death of some 300,000 people in the tsunami. That we can't answer, and that I won't try to answer. But one thing we do know, and that is that God calls us to repent of our sinfulness and to trust in Him, something that we really do not like to do. In fact, it hurts us a lot to admit, even to ourselves, the exact nature of our egoism, or the exact nature of our pride, or the exact nature of our arrogance or our jealousies. It reminds me of a woman who told me once that her son had been caught speeding. He was going over 100 miles an hour. But instead of admitting his guilt, he wanted her to hire a lawyer to sue the police department for having set up a speed trap. Now, we may laugh, but it's really not all that far from the games that we will play, the justifications that we will try to make, the rationalizations that we will tell ourselves and others in order to avoid daily repentance. But God is merciful. Now, it's true that the Muslims say that God is merciful also, but there's a big difference. Because in the case of the Muslim God, he can be merciful. He can forgive. That is, when and if he wishes to do so. But in our case, we know that the one true God is merciful. And it's not only possible for him to forgive, but that he has forgiven, and he does forgive, and that he will forgive, because he has placed all of our dirty, rotten, dreadful sinfulness upon his Son, Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin, but became sin for us. And so we need not fear. We need not fear even the worst tragedies of this life. Nor do we even need to fear the end of the world. In fact, we can anticipate it. When that day will come, where we'll be singing the Alleluias like we have sung in that wonderful hymn this morning. We need not fear because of God's love for us. A love so deep that sometimes he is even willing to take drastic measures to call us back to repentance, just as he took drastic measures when he sent his son. In Jesus' name, amen.